Hello, today is Wednesday, the 26th of May, 2010, and this is Animal Wisdom Mastery Hour, and this is sponsored through the Animal Spirit Healing and Education Network. Our guest presenter tonight is Dr. Lori Moore, presenting the topic, Addressing Doubt and Error When Learning Animal Communication. This teleclass, both the audio content and any related printed material, is not an alternative or substitute for good medical or veterinary care, proper nutrition, training, or exercise. It is not meant to cure, diagnose, or prescribe in any way. The views of the presenter are not necessarily the views of the sponsor or network. The audio and materials are intended for educational and informational purposes only. This Cafe Mastery Hour is digitally recorded for the benefit of those participating live as well as for future listeners. This audio recording and any set of printed materials are copyrighted and may not be distributed or sold in any way outside of Animal Spirit Network. Please refer to your student waiver for additional guidelines. And thank you for your participation. And I'm going to switch over to the Animal Wisdom Mastery Hour at this time. Hi, it's Kristen, and I'm back. And just let me check in and see, did anyone else join us since I've been gone?
I didn't hear any beeps.
No?
I heard something, but I wasn't sure what it was.
A rogue barking dog. Well, on that note, let me just mention that if anybody does anticipate or have background noise going on, if you would mute your phone, and you can do that by pressing the mute button on your handset or by pressing *6 on the keypad, and then if you'd like to join in and comment or question, just unmute yourself in the same way, okay? All right. Thank you all for coming. And I warmly welcome Dr. Lori Moore here again tonight. And her topic tonight is going to be addressing doubt and error when learning animal communication. And Dr. Lori is an animal communicator. She is a healer. She is a teacher. She is a counselor. She is very gifted. And we are so happy to have you here, Lori. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've been really enjoying coming to the Animal Cafe to teach these classes to these wonderful groups. And Jesse Justin Joy, my guru and my cat, has decided to help me teach today. He's really excited about this particular topic. He's sitting right here with me. And what he wanted to start the class by saying is that the animals really, really appreciate that people are taking the courage and the love and the kindness to communicate and to help. And so when you're having doubt, it is a good idea to really turn to the animal for some encouragement and support. Because unfortunately, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, I could see it in both ways, at this time in societal consciousness, regardless of what culture you are part of, what country you are part of, what states you are part of, this idea of we're gonna show who's wrong, we're going to keep them honest, we're going to expose the bad doers is really a popular theme. And, you know, the intention is good, but it's also very unfortunate because everybody's making mistakes, everyone's on a learning curve. That's what we came to do. That's what being human is. And so if we could start to really use the animals as role models and learn to love one another because we are love rather than love or not like one another because we made a mistake, we would really be hearing what the animals are trying to say much more deeply. So having fear and doubt in oneself is partly a sign of integrity because it's you saying to yourself, well, I certainly wouldn't want to speak on behalf of an animal incorrectly. And it's also a sign of the times because there's such testing going on. And if someone makes a mistake, it's in the front page of the newspaper and all the news shows. It's very important if somebody does something right 85 times and then makes 15 mistakes, which is to be expected regardless of what you're doing. It becomes, you know, a very prevalent topic. This person made a mistake. They must be wrong. So not only are we asking the question about doubt because we want to learn to do our very best, which is wonderful, that we want to be impeccable to the extent we can, even though we're human and we make mistakes. But we're also asking it because we need a means to return to self-love if we make a mistake and somebody gets hurt, because sometimes that happens, and it's probably the worst fear of every medical doctor, and probably every medical doctor at some point goes through that mistake where someone got hurt. And it's no different in alternative kinds of well-being therapies, animal communication, etc. So we'll really look into how to address all of this today. I first want to start with the topic of trust and love, because when we're communicating from the heart, the chance that the information we're going to receive is going to be helpful to the person towards whom we're imparting the information is much higher than if we leave the heart out. And the heart can be aware, just like the animals can be aware, in ways that the mind, separate from the heart, cannot. So I've had lots of instances where people have doubted me and later come back to say, well, actually what you said was accurate. And I know that what kept me trusting was, one, I trusted the animal, two, I trusted my heart, and three, I didn't need to be right. So I was willing to say, I'm sorry I made a mistake, if that's what happened. And that comes from each of us has to find a place in ourselves where we're willing to be forgiven and forgive ourselves if we do make a mistake. But I remember the first time it happened, when I was first starting out, a dog told me, and I think I mentioned this in one of the other classes, that after that dog passed, yellow flowers would grow in the person's yard. And up until then, the person was really trusting what I was saying, and she said, you know, I have to tell you, that's just not going to happen because there are no yellow flowers in my yard. And I said, okay, well, I'm just the communicator. I'm not going to make an opinion on whether it can happen or not. I believe you that yellow flowers have never grown in your yard and it doesn't make sense. Maybe I'm in error. And I'm re-asking, and your dog is very clear that yellow flowers will grow in your yard. So after her dog passed, and it was the birthday of the dog, yellow flowers grew in her yard, she called me to tell me. And it gave me a really deep sense that I could trust what I was hearing, and that even in the moment that I was saying it, if someone else couldn't, it was important that I'd be willing to apologize, but I stay open to the possibility that what I was hearing was right. Her name's Cheryl Clifford, and she tells the story herself. It's a true story. So also what I find complicated is often, because animals speak the truth. They speak what's going on. You can't hide anything. They have no judgment, so they're given access to a lot of information about the beings they live with. They hear it, they see it. And a lot of times people have been pretty conditioned. They can be very good people, but we get conditioned to not tell the whole truth, if not to ourselves, to others. And so when you're talking to the animals, personal information can come up about people, really to help them. And my belief is if we're an animal communicator or telepathic in some way, the universe isn't going to give us that privilege to have information about others unless my experience is that information comes to me because I'm in no judgment when it comes to me, and I'm not going to hang on to it, and it's not of interest to me after the session. It's really just coming through me in the same way it's coming through the animals, so that someone can be helped. But sometimes someone's mind is in conflict with their own heart. And I remember a woman was in a very bad situation with a very dangerous man. And she wanted me to talk to her. And what her mind wanted me to do is say, oh, no, she didn't tell me he was dangerous or anything. Her mind wanted me to say, oh, so glad you found the love of your life. And it just wasn't the truth. And obviously, I was on the side of her well-being, her heart, and her soul, not on the side of what her mind wanted to think. And so I told her, you're in a dangerous situation. You could get hurt. You cannot trust this person. And she said, oh, no, you're all wrong, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is, you know, you don't know what you're saying. You're all off. And I said, okay, I could be off. I might be making an error, but I need to tell you the truth because I care about you, and that's why this information's coming in. And, of course, many months later after she went through it and got herself in all kind of trouble and hurt, she came back and said, I really wished I had listened. But, she didn't need to listen. What she needed to do was trust herself, and herself needed to go through that lesson for whatever reason. So if we're communicating on behalf of an animal and someone does not want to hear what that animal is saying, then we just let it go because that's their learning curve. And for whatever reason, they need to go through an experience of not listening to what the animal is saying and learn from whatever they're learning from. So we don't need to be defensive or prove a point. All we need to do is keep praying to the universe that we give the best information possible for the highest good of the person we're talking to, and if we make a mistake, that it be brought to our attention so we can immediately apologize and do whatever we need to do. So I have so much to say, but let me pause for a minute and ask, are there any questions at this point?
Lori, this is Kristen, and I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say what a beautiful opening. In so many ways, what you're sharing is just great and right on. But I just really appreciate the opening because it is such a kind of defensive and hostile kind of time in our culture and our media, and, you know, and that just really hit home for me.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My heart goes out to people who stand up in big roles as politicians or Hollywood artists, etc., because they're always getting their lives looked into, and the minute they make a mistake, you know, everything good they does go out the window. So thank you for noticing that this is a paradigm in consciousness we're working through right now. It's kind of like adolescent, when we want to make someone else wrong and then we'll do it right. And someday we have to grow up and realize, well, we all are the same being here, and you know, we're going to all do it right and wrong, and that's part of it. And that doesn't excuse people when they intentionally do something wrong. That's a different story. But a lot of the times, people's mistakes are mistakes, and they're on their learning curve. And in a way, every mistake at the deepest level, even the most horrendous things people do, they couldn't do them if they were aware of what they were inflicting upon themselves. There's some disconnect. There's something not learned yet. So people test me. People will test you. And I know usually, I'm sure people have tested me and I haven't noticed, but I think most of the times it's really obvious because we'll be connecting. It's very honest. It's about love. It's about support. And all of a sudden, there's some really strange question, and the energy feels really different, and it's no longer about connectedness or support. And all of a sudden, I'm noticing, like, something has nothing to do with animal communication here, because the animals don't work like that. They don't test you. If you're emanating something negative, they growl. They don't need to test you. They know. And so all of a sudden, it'll happen just not usually, not with most of my clients, a very tiny percentage, maybe 2%, but every once in a while, all of a sudden someone will start asking me something, and I can just feel it's not coming from their highest integrity, and something's off, and they have a right to test me. So I tell them right away, I'll say, look, I get the idea you're testing me right now. So first of all, you have every right to test me because you want to know that you can trust me and you want to know if you cannot trust me. The problem is I'm working from my heart. I'm working from love. And so now I'm in this paradigm with you that is so different than what I'm doing that I can't operate. So I'll just tell you I'm going to fail the test. I'm really bad at taking tests. But what I can do to alleviate your valid concerns, which are genuine, which you deserve to have, is I can talk to you for a while, and during our conversation, things will come up that are very personal, that I have no way of knowing outside, because I've never talked to you before, outside of speaking to your animal. And I think once we have a really genuine conversation about what's going on here, you will find trust in that way. You will find me telling things you wouldn't know otherwise. If this is like a psychic game and it's like, is she right or is she wrong? And, you know, can she predict the future and can she blah, blah, blah? I'm not up for it. I have no interest in that. It's not my talent. You're going to have to go to, you know, a psychic who believes that they can actually do those kind of things. I believe that you collaborate with your future and your present constantly. So change is available at all times. And that's, I'm here as a communicator. So I'm not, and people ask questions that, just don't have anything to do with what their animal is calling me about. So then it's up to them. And what I found is I can only think of one time where there was a block, but with every other person, they said okay, and then later, because they talked in depth to me, they come to understand that, yeah, I was really talking to their animal. I couldn't do the test, but I was really talking to their animal. I had one situation really recently, actually. It was a reincarnation, and I wanted to bring those up because those are extremely complex, and they're complex for a number of reasons that can bring doubt. One is a person who's lost a beloved animal and is hoping for the beloved animal's return is in a lot of grief. So the person's in a really vulnerable situation. Some people will try to look for the most outer edges of the personality of the animal they lost because that's familiar. But an animal is like a person. If they take on a new soul birth, a lot of their characteristics will re-show up again. But it's not going to be exactly the same. They're not going to look the same. They're not going to do all the things the same. Sometimes they do have a lot of the same quirks. Sometimes, often, their intention is very clearly, their soul energy is very clearly them. But also, they're coming back for another reason. They've gone to the other side. They've done some refinement. They might have a different aspect of themselves that they're actualizing. So if people can't see a little deeper, they might miss. And the animal will make it so obvious that it's the animal. Most of my reincarnation cases, people were very able to know it was their animal. But recently someone had called me, and as soon as I got the email, something felt a little off, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to take the case. And so I'd first advise them to go, I recommended other people. But they kept kind of pushing it. They really wanted me to do it. And so I started talking to the dog who was definitely in a body. And when the animals are in a body or they're out of a body, most of the time it's very, very, very obvious, because when they come to you out of the body, there's no physicalness. They show you. You can see it, you can feel it, you can hear it. There's this whole aspect of their reality that's not there. And then once in a while, an animal will be kind of in between, and it might be because they're on their way out, they're going back and forth. And sometimes it's like a very, very, very spiritual animal who just isn't really so identified with the body. And that's not to say there are many spiritual beings who are very identified with their body, but some beings are less. So there's different reasons for that, but most of the time an animal can make it pretty clear as to whether or not the animal's in the body or not. So this animal was definitely back in a body, and this animal had definitely made contact with the person. And this person's heart was opening more and more and more. I wasn't charging this person anything because I did not want, something in me just said, you know, just give your time and do whatever you can because something's not right here and it's going to backfire. I don't know how I knew that. But so I kept working with the person. I kept keeping the door open. If they wanted to work with someone else, that was okay. And then the test came, and it was just really odd. Like, they asked me this question that, really, I didn't have any way to know the answer to. It had nothing to do with the case. And then after that, it was over. It was like, then therefore I couldn't be able to do this. So it was an interesting situation for me to monitor, because I knew from the beginning that something was happening. You know, there was some test. Something was just way off. I called my colleague. Whenever we're a little stumped with someone, we check in with each other. We've been working together for many, many years, and he has a pretty 99% good track record with me. And he from the beginning, he said, just don't take the case. They're going to do something strange in the middle. But I had to, because my heart wanted to help to whatever extent I could. And what the learning was for me really was, because after that they just disappeared. And I know she had gone to a few other communicators before me too. That and my guess is she's on with someone else now. I don't know. And she was very nice and very loving and very positive. But there was something going on with her that she couldn't go through what she needed to go through in her heart to come to the awareness of what was happening. And I had to just let go of that. I had to just say, okay, I gave it my all. I knew something was a little off, and that's all I could do. And I stayed in touch with the dog. The dog's fine. The dog's in a body. She doesn't want to know that. So why she doesn't want to know that is not my business. It has to do with an emotional wound. It's really complex. And I always add to everything, and I could be wrong, but I'm feeling very deeply this is what's happening. So I think these kind of lessons are really about self-love, because I could say, oh, I failed, or oh, I blew it, but it's not really what happened. What happened was the universe brought a situation where it wasn't going to come into completion the way the others had, and I had to get to experience doubt but keep returning to my heart and what I believe to be true. And I believe I'm going to hear from that person at some time once again. So my point is just that we have to trust ourselves. We have to once again be willing to be wrong, but keep trusting. You kind of know. You kind of know deep in your heart when you're off or when you're on. And when you're on, maybe some details are out of whack, but the essence, the basis of what you're getting to is real. And if you can work with someone together to uncover, unravel, all my reincarnation cases that have worked out in the end, we've really worked together. And there's always been lots of grace and lots of synchronicity. And there's always been some complicated lesson that the person had to learn before it all came true. Always, whether their lesson was unconditional love or joy or peace, whatever was in the way would come up. And it would come up with misidentifying an animal as the reincarnation, or it would come up as the animal, you know, choosing to reincarnate in one body and then making a different choice. But once the person got the lesson, it would be crystal clear. The animal would reincarnate. We'd have no trouble finding the animal. I think I spoke on another one of these classes when my client was going through a lesson of unconditional peace, and until she could find it, the animal couldn't come back. It's not as though the animal was sitting there saying, I'm punishing you, I won't come back. It's divine law. That was the karmic lesson. She needed to find peace. By her finding peace, the magnetic force of attraction brought this animal back into the world, because this animal was in peace. But she had to go through some really few challenges. And then finally she was ready. She was on the internet. She saw a dog that she thought would be the right dog in Santa Cruz, California, which is where I happen to live, 2 hours away from her. She didn't tell me. She was going to go check it out and then call me. I was driving doing an errand, and I suddenly felt I needed to drive to the SPCA and give them some brochures. Out of nowhere, I turned my car around, went to the SPCA, bring them some brochures, and she walked in. I mean, she lived in Marin, 2 hours away. And the angels came, and we were there together, and the reincarnation occurred right before our very eyes. It was amazing, and it was beautiful, and she had no doubt her dog was back with her. They're together today. This is years later. But she had to go through her doubts in herself, her doubts in her ability to create peace, and I had to just keep trusting. It can, you know, be unnerving if you let yourself go with the fear. What if I get it wrong? You have to stay with the focus. The focus is always the service. I'm here in service. I'm here in love. I'm here to do my very, very best no matter what. That's the service. And that cleans up everything. That clears everything. That keeps you in integrity. That allows the mission to happen much more easily. That gives you your clarity. That keeps you doing a really, really good job. And if you make a mistake, it would allow you to say, I made a mistake. So do I have any questions at this point? Let's go around the circle, and I'd like to hear from everybody what brought you to this call, what you're hoping to gain from being on this call.
Don't be shy, guys. Jump in. Robin, how about you?
For me, it was, what are some techniques that you and maybe some of your colleagues have used to kind of help keep yourself trusting, listening to your heart, listening inside when you have some of those doubts? But you gave us beautiful examples of when you've done that. How do you motivate yourself?
Excellent question. So the first step is gratitude. If at any time you're in the face of fear, upset, nervousness, and you just refocus your heart on your gratitude, and Jesse's really confirming this right now, you will naturally, that will take you to love and trust. So how you go to gratitude, for some people they just need to focus on the quality of gratitude in their heart, and they're naturally there. For others, you start to think about everything for which you're grateful, and that will bring you back to gratitude. And to specifically locate yourself in the process you're going through in gratitude, start to think everything you're grateful for the person you're working with, the animal you're working with, yourself, and that will bring gratitude to the experience you're co-creating with the person and the animal right then and there. So that's the most important tool, which will work and bring you back. If gratitude starts to bring you back and something more powerful takes you away, it's an unhealed wound. It's a conditioning that needs to be cleared. So, and it will be prevalent in your life. It will come up again and again until it's addressed. So there's a variety of ways to address this. One is simply just go to someone who does clearing work who can, you know, move the energy for you. Two is to locate, this you can do by yourself, locate the energy in your body that's in doubt. So let's say every time you go into doubt, you feel, your heart feels nervous. So you actually sit by yourself, you take some time out from the project that you're working on with the animal, and you sit in the nervous feeling. I'm just using an example, everyone will have their own, in your heart. Once again, heart's an example. Someone else, it will be their belly, etc. If you sit 100% in the energy that you're feeling, it will shift. It will dissipate. If you resist it, it will grow. If you try to fix it or change it, it will grow. If you accept it, love it, be 100% present in it, it naturally shifts. So those are the two greatest tools for alleviating the stress of doubt and taking yourself back, as you asked, to a state of trust. Great question. Thank you. So who else is on the line? And let me know what you came to receive so I can make sure you receive that in your precious time here.
Hi, this is Maggie.
Maggie.
Wow, I came to learn, and you just taught me an awful lot. that was really beautiful. But you just said about gratitude and you know, to focus on the heart and to clear, and also about sitting in the energy. You know, because I find, you know, we're human, and sometimes we have bad energy. We have things to work through, and, you know, a lot of people just want to get rid of it instead of going through it, you know. It's kind of been what, you know, I find, you know, it's like, so that was really helpful, because.
Good. I'm glad, Maggie.
Do that, yeah.
Yeah, good point. It's until people understand that in order to change what is out of harmony, we need to face it, a lot of energy, gets used in ways that ends up to, unfortunately, our detriment. I really believe the wars on the planet are created out of this, just a simple misunderstanding. And when we start to really be able to face every part of consciousness in ourselves, you know, from the greatest loving, compassionate, blissful angel in our consciousness to the prejudiced, hateful murderer in our consciousness. There's only one consciousness. So once you're on the planet, it's all inside you. It doesn't mean you are that. It doesn't mean you act out on that. It means that it's all inside you. And those who are willing to sit and face it inwardly are not going to be the ones who act out on it. When you can be so deeply in those places of consciousness in yourself, you come back to peace. And it's like you become the love that holds it all. So you don't need to act out on it. When we start to fight against things, you know, we're standing up for our rights, we're against this being and we're against this policy, we become that hatred ourselves. And it backfires every time, and it turns into little wars and inner wars and giant wars. And really, people just don't understand this. I think if everyone understood this, they would probably take the time to face themselves very deeply, because it's a way of accessing such great joy and love. And it's really how the animals are able to stay in such states of reverence and peace. I mean, I've worked with so many animals who are getting ready to pass, and even if their bodies are encountering great challenge, I have yet to meet an animal who can't access peace. They all access very deep peace in the face of these challenges, and we can learn so much from that. So thank you for your understanding on that. And who else? Yeah, thanks. Who else is on the call that would like to share while you're here, why you are here, so I can make sure you have your desires and needs for this call met?
Mary Helen.
Hi, Mary Helen.
Hi. Continuing to work on animal communication has gotten better. Little things happen and shift, but you know, the trust. I think that was the issue that I wanted to hear about, was the trust and to learn about, I guess, to hear another angle, if you will, but to recognize that in myself and to hear, you know, the words that you're saying about gratitude, it's really helpful to know that that's something else you can use to fall back into that, really, that trust that you do have with yourself, because you wouldn't be doing this work. I mean, I don't think any of us would be doing there's not that component there.
Yes, so. Thank you. That's a wonderful statement and question. I agree. No one would do this work if they didn't have a lot of trust, because, you know, it's not the easiest path to embark on. You have to have a lot of trust, because not everyone is going to believe in it. So, yes, so your trust in yourself will develop as you receive proof that what you're doing is healing, that it's nourishing, and that it's in alignment with truth. So the more you practice, the more you get valid feedback. And so if you are practicing, and a lot of the time, most of the time, you're hearing from people, this is helping me, this is accurate, you must know my animal, you have to be talking to my animal, this is my animal. You will hear a lot of that if you're on track. If you're on track, you'll hear lots and lots of that. So then every once in a while, when you hear something different, then you'll know, okay, well, either I'm having an off day, or there's something someone doesn't want to face. So if you're not hearing a lot of that, and that's the universe's benevolent letting you know that you need to look a little deeper into what is in the way of you hearing, feeling, seeing what the animals are really saying. Because the people will let you know, and the animals will too. You know, the animals will work and to help you really receive them. So I know you're on this call because you have a lot of openness and magic, and you have a talent and a gift. And the feedback that's needed by you will keep coming. And you can tell the universe and the animals, I'm needing more help to know that I'm on track. So please if I am, provide it in a way that I can really feel, hear, and see it, that I can be open to it. And the universe and the animals will graciously provide that to you and to let the universe know. And if there's something I'm overlooking, some transference or counter-transference I'm creating, meaning some kind of projection, please let me know that too, and I will be humble enough to make adjustments to become better. And please help me to know that in easy, loving ways. And if you're open to that, the universe will come and help you with that too. So these are really wonderful reasons to be on the call and really, really good questions. If you stay mostly in the positive, it'll all come up anyway. So if you just stay mostly on your intention to do a good job, to surrender to doing a good job, the help comes and you can trust. And anything out of a line will become immediately evident for you to change. So I think keeping your intention really clear is another aspect of how this works well. Knowing what's my intention when I'm talking to an animal. And, you know, you, the person who just asked this question, you have a really clear channel. I can feel it. It's very open. It's just very clear and pure, and so that kind of acknowledgement will keep coming in a way that will keep steering you. And anybody else like to let me know your intention for being on the call?
Janice, did you have anything? She may be on mute.
No, not really. Additionally, you really hit on a couple of the things that I was, the nervousness and kind of going with that and being that I have experienced that, being nervous when you're starting and then just sort of kind of just keep on going. And like you said, it does shift and it does clear. And it's just good to know that, you know, hopefully that'll continue to happen.
Yes, thank you. Just remember, if you're clear about your intention,
mm-hmm.
Your intention will be created. So if your intention is love and service and you keep taking yourself back to that, anything in your consciousness in the way will come up so that you can work with it, harmonize it, heal it. If there's a layer of tension that is habitually carried around, because all of us have those kind of energies, that's the nature of culture these days, it will come up because the animals aren't really vibrating in that way, and then you seek out ways, maybe it's meditation or prayer or music or chanting or something, that needs to be ironed out. It's your call to be an animal communicator is also your call to heal aspects of yourself which have not been healed. It's really the nature of how life is set up. It's not set up for a rightness or wrongness, but rather it's set up as a mirror and an instant biofeedback system. So whatever is not in harmony in ourselves comes to our knowledge. So there's certain careers where you can push that down until it just explodes or implodes. But with animal communication, because the animals are so sweet and sensitive, you're calling yourself to a spiritual path it is a spiritual path to be an animal communicator, and you're calling yourself to be looking in the mirror of any disharmony so that you can seek out ways to harmonize them. And that's a blessing. That's a good thing. That's the nature of the work we do on this planet. So it's a beautiful way to learn. And we're not supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to be continuously learning, surrendering more and more of what's out of harmony and coming more and more into harmony. That goes into deeper and deeper levels of the waves of our existence. The animals are very, very aware of these waves and are so much wanting to help us. Thank you for all these very good questions and intentions. And are there any others? So really what we want to do before we get on the phone or get to the meeting with the person and the animal, once again, just to kind of summarize, is we want to we want to say our intention to ourselves. We want to know what our intention is. Why are we doing this? What are we here for? It has to do with service. It has to do with helping. It has to do with love. It has to do with following a natural gift. And we might each have our own unique intention. And then we want to create the environment. The animals create positive environments. They'll create the joy. They'll surrender to the love. They'll be the peace. And so we want to ask ourselves, what kind of environment would I like to bring so that I'm not in reaction to what is brought to me, but I'm there being the peace I seek, as Gandhi so beautifully said. So we want to know what our intention is for what we want to create and how we want to create it. And if we come in that way, anything that's in the way of that is simply something that we can work on resolving in ourselves. But like I said, that can be done by shifting to gratitude or being very present with something other than what is clear and harmonious. Or going and getting help from the many different healing modalities that are available at this time on the planet. I give sessions to a lot of people who just need to remove some mental clutter or emotional frustration or blockage to proceed with their work. And that is always available for people. There's help. And when we're in these kind of fields where we help others, we have to be willing to constantly get help, to constantly allow ourselves to shift and change and cleanse and clear and harmonize. And then it's a great beauty and the love and the bliss that comes through the experience of doing the readings just grows deeper and deeper, taking us deeper and deeper home. So I'm hearing someone. Does someone have another question? Or?
Lori, this is Kristen, and I just want to ask that it just sounds like a phone. There's some background noise. If somebody could just mute their phone, kind of came on as noise and then muffled.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Does that sound better?
It does. Great. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So, we want to really draw upon the strength of the animals and remember that this work is guided by the animals. When a person calls you, their animal knows, and something in the animal was reaching out, communicating to the person that they wanted that help. So you have the help, and you don't have to prove anything to the animals. They want to help you. They want to work with you. They want to be helped by you. And you can just call upon their strength and their love, because they're really calling you to animal communication because they want to teach you so much. And while you're there to help, you're also there to receive. And that's something Jesse just enjoyed. It just asked me to make really, really clear to people. He wants people to understand this immense love the animals are sending out to help all of you. So let's just take a few minutes, because that was a lot of information, to just be silent and kind of absorb and just feel ourselves for a few minutes.